When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
This is Tim Heidecker. I'm making a podcast for my record called Fear of Death, working title Fear of Death. I'm speaking with two of my collaborators on the record, Natalie Maring.
Yeah.
And Drew Erickson.
Hello.
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 I think we could start. Let me just start with some context. Is it okay that I'm not looking at you?
You don't have to look at us.
Okay. To backtrack, I know you, Natalie, because the common link between us is Father John Misty.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
I didn't know that. How was that link made?
Well, we both, this was last end of 2018. We both performed at his
That's right, the fire benefit
at the Ace Hotel, and I actually knew who you were because Jonathan Rado had told me about you. He said he was producing you and described you as a very talented singer songwriter.
Thank you, Rado.
And he said you would really like her music because he knows what kind of music I like, and he was right. But I knew the name, and then we ended up on the same bill, which was this Father John Misty benefit. And you were going right before me, and you were singing a very clear memory, because I'm not usually a guy that... Ding!
Ding, 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 ding!
It's like, your time has expired. Drew, do you want a drink? I'm sorry, I forgot to offer you a drink.
Yeah, I'd like a drink.
Only have beer.
Beer?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
See, now we're warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I get the Asahi.
So I usually don't... It's nerve-wracking for me to play music in front of people. It's not as nerve-wracking to do comedy, but I was going to play some songs. And I'd written a new song about the fires that was satirical. About the Trump's message of raking the forest floors. That was sort of the, and I'd just written it, so I was nervous because I was going to play this new song that I had not played for anybody. And you were on first, and you were destroying the room with a beautiful version of I think it was Oh Holy Night.
Yes, it was Oh Holy Night.
It was like a baller move. To slay everybody with your pipes.
Yeah, and Drew was there accompanying.
And Drew was playing piano.
It's true.
And so I was on the side stage watching this going, I got to follow this now? And thinking like, I sort of had negative feelings about you. that she's too cool for me. She's like a Father John Misty, cool kid. They're gonna laugh at me in my songs. But then you said, up next is the star of the number one TV show, Decker. Introduced me, and I was like, aha, I see.
Yeah,
I see. So you, I always think nobody knows who I am and that I don't belong anywhere. I'm a big loser.
Yeah. And I'm a big weirdo. So I knew about you.
Right.
At that point.
You had seen all the stuff.
Most of the stuff. Yeah.
You're a fan, perhaps.
I saw the comedy.
You saw the comedy.
And you get I cried because it was not funny. No, it was funny.
Cell phones off. That was somebody. That was like a Star Wars.
That was
Wars.
Mine. I'm really sorry.
That was the Back to the Future thing, right?
Right.
Sorry, guys.
I talked to you briefly after the show. I know your manager. I know him through other people. We say hello. I compliment you, I'm sure. And then I believe I find out that Doug... You know Doug Lusenhop. You know other friends of mine. I said, why don't you come and would you come and do my podcast, my office hours podcast? Not this podcast. That would be a little. We'd be cutting way into the future.
Yeah.
If I was talking about that, I said, come and why don't you? If you would, you're invited to come come in and talk on the podcast. And you do come to the podcast studio at 9 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool move for a rock and roll person.
Was it late? I think
were
I was.
You late?
You were right on time. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Come in. We have a nice chat. And in the midst of that chat, I say, I got this song brewing. Maybe we should do a song together some way, somehow. You're very amenable, probably just being polite. But maybe genuinely interested in making music with me. We don't know. We'll never know.
We will never know.
I don't know if you can access those original feelings, but...
I was totally bullied into it, man.
So we had a nice chat. The audience loved you. This is before your hit record comes out, by the way.
Yeah.
This is pre-Titanic, pre-launching of the Titanic.
Yep, on that fateful voyage.
So nobody knows you. No, they do know you. You have great respect in the industry.
Yeah.
But I honestly didn't know your music very well, but I like talking to people I don't know very well because it can be a genuine, like, investigative journalism that I do.
Yeah. Just completely flying off the cuff. Yeah.
Why are you here?
I was out at the Father John Misty thing.
You were at the... You have entered the picture as a sort of a background extra.
A shadowy figure.
You don't remember this, but...
I do remember, only that you've now reminded me, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the way we met is I walked into the dressing room and you were there by yourself. No, you were there by yourself, yeah. And I said, sorry, am I in your dressing room? You said, no, this dressing room is for all of us, you know, at the event. He said, I'm not fucking Weezer. Because Weezer was like the only band that...
They had their own dressing room at that thing.
Yeah, rightly so.
And you were like, this is a cool guy.
This is a people's guy.
I'm a man of
like,
the people.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he's really a man of the people.
Yes, I do remember that in a way. So
he doesn't remember.
We had a great interview in Office Hours, which I think I'll fold into this conversation here.
Does he do a pick? Or does he do his one and two finger and go... Lung, lung, lung,
I think lung, I wrote lung, a song...
Lung, fingers.
I wrote a song... Should I do this?
You wrote,
a song?
Can we hear it?
That I think you would kill if you sang it.
Okay.
Tim...
This won't be perfectly in tune, but I'll give you the gist of the song.
Attention.
It goes...
it about me.
I live in fear of everyone. I hope you understand. Don't count on us becoming friends. I think I'm done growing. I think I'm done growing. I think I'm done growing.
Yeah.
I live in fear of everyone. I hope you understand. I don't think we're becoming friends. I think I'm done growing. I think I'm done growing. I think I'm done growing. Fear of death. Oh, this is really a depressing song. Fear of death.
Oh.
Fear of death. Fear of death is keeping me alive.
Yeah.
Fear of death is keeping me alive. Fear of death is keeping me alive.
Yeah.
Woo! Wow.
Fear of death.
Wouldn't you kill that one?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good message.
Fear of death is keeping me alive for sure.
So we'll record that together. You invite me to come see you at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for a big show, and which now wouldn't even be a big show for you. Think about that.
Yeah, we've grown.
It would be a nothing show.
Yeah, we grew up.
But I got wonderful seats provided by you, the artist. And I went with Vic Berger, and we sat there and were really genuinely blown away by the show, very entertained and moved. And what's remarkable is I said, let's go to the after party.
Wow.
Which is not something I like to do.
Yeah.
I like to get out of there. Go home. I've had enough. But I go to the after party with Vic. We're in the still. You're there and you're moping around. Nobody knows what to do. But this kid comes out of the woodwork.
Shadows.
The shadows of the party. Comes right up to me. Like a real asshole. No respect for my privacy or my personal space. No, I'm just kidding. Drew comes up, who I apparently had met already but didn't remember, and says, what?
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy Priceline.
We're talking about this like we signed. No. This is how the country was formed. Or
well,
something.
I played this.
Why is this?
I played that night with Natalie. So I was
on mic, please.
I sat in on the organ that night for the show, and maybe we were talking, and we'd met before, and you said something about, I don't know, you asked me what I've been doing or some kind of thing, and mm-hmm. then you, we were talking, and it led to you saying you had written some songs that you think would be good for you and Natalie to sing together. And then I, you know, I'd had a couple of drinks, and I was just like, let's do it.
He literally
said, I was like, well, let's try to make it happen.
Yeah, this was a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And you really, I remember a little differently that you were a little more proactive, like, oh, I could get a band together. I could get a studio. If Natalie's free, we could do it next week.
I probably said that.
Yeah. I think he said that.
You were bold. And then we walked over to Natalie, who was signing autographs or something. You know, it was her night.
I think I was slicing cake.
Slicing cake.
Yeah, you were. I've...
I think there's a picture of you and I in front of the cake that we can document somehow. Drew was like, "You want to record next week with Tim?" And you said, "Sure." And then I just kind of left that night going like, "Well, we'll see what happens with that." Drew, I don't know about you, Natalie, but Drew, he calls me.
Yeah, Drew's old school.
I'm a caller. Yeah,
yeah, he's old school.
And half the time I say, I don't want to talk. I can't talk right now.
It's always a risk. Yeah,
I actually think it's always really important.
Right. That's why I'm worried. I get worried right away.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What now? That was my first reaction to the phone call. Oh, well, it's usually like, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. Or Natalie died.
No.
Hey, it's Drew. I'm just calling to let you know Natalie died. So we're not recording next week. But no, you called the next day and said, so I've got a band and I've got a studio. And Monday and Tuesday, can you do Monday and Tuesday? And I said, I certainly can. And he said, well, what are you going to record? And I said, well, I got some songs. I'll look through my files and find. I always have a bunch of songs lying around that aren't finished or I feel might be workable. One of them was the thing I did with Natalie on the podcast, and sent them your way. I think it's funny. I didn't hear back about like the songs or anything. It was just like, I remember driving to that session being like, there's a chance that like nobody's even like, this was like a big mistake or something.
That's
like,
not even real.
Yeah. Or it was just like, oh, sorry, man. I fucked up. I thought you were kidding or something. But,
I mean, it's too good to be true.
It was too good to be true for sure, because I get there and it's the coolest studio in the world, Valentine Studios.
Right. Yeah. It's a beautiful spot. It's like a time capsule.
Yeah. It's like, it's a time capsule. It is a time capsule.
It hasn't changed since the 50s.
Yeah. It's like, it's got the linoleum floors and the orange sofas and the beautiful old reel-to-reel desks and
carpeted walls and wood paneling.
Yeah, baffles.
Asbestos.
It baffles my mind.
Some asbestos tile.
Yeah. It was like they closed the doors in 1974 and then opened them up a few years ago, which is kind of almost what happened, right?
Yeah, it was a used car, or it was a classic car place for a while. The studio shut down, I think, in the 70s, and he was operating his car refurbishment business out of there, and there was just car parts in there before Nick found it, and they removed all the parts, and then there was this beautiful pristine studio there.
Jesus.
That's the story.
Wow. So, asbestos and crude oil.
Yeah.
So
combo.
And you brought these musicians together. Do you remember who was there in the first couple of days, day?
Yeah, it was Stella Mozgawa, who's my old roommate and also like a fantastic drummer from Warpaint. She was playing. Zach Dawes from Many Mansions was playing bass, and Benji, how do you say
Lysot.
Last name?
Lysot.
Lysot.
Sorry, Benji.
From the Lysol.
Benji was playing guitar.
Detergent, or the Lysol disinfectant family.
Did we have anybody else the first day, or was that it? And then Sean Cook, the engineer.
Yeah.
Amazing. He was there.
I was there.
And Natalie showed up. Showed up. Mm-hmm. With everybody being sort of like, oh, we got the songs over the weekend. They're real rough. We can play some of them. And yeah, they get it. I mean, I write basically, you know, nursery rhymes. They're not that complicated. I'm not writing like a, what's a good prog rock reference?
You're not writing a Starless by King Crimson.
King Crimson was what I was trying to get in my head. They're simple. Everyone gets it. There's a reference to it. And everybody are like top-notch musicians. So I'm in heaven. Because Drew's playing piano. And we're laying it down as a, like a band. Natalie starts finding her parts. And we did like three songs that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very, we flourished.
It was a productive day. And then it was like, well, we had the 2 days booked. So the idea was we'd come back the next day and do another three songs, two or three songs. And who shows up on that day?
But the Lemon Twigs.
The Lemon Twigs.
And Jonathan Rado.
And Jonathan Rado roll in as if like this is just what they do with their lives, is roll around town and play on guys' records.
Yeah.
Like I'm in some kind of Harry Nilsson biopic.
Just three-part harmonies automatically.
Right.
Yeah, these guys come in.
That was part of the reason we rushed to do the session. That was part of the reason we put the session together so quick, because the Twigs were only in town for another week or something.
Yeah.
These guys come in. They're dressed like they're in the Spiders from Mars, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're young as hell. I don't even know how. They're very young.
They're Generation Z.
Yeah.
Gen Z.
They're absolutely excited, but also kind of like you imagine the Ray Davies, Dave Davies vibe going. A lot of bickering.
There's a rock guy and there's a beautiful melodies guy.
Yeah. But they come in and play on Will You Come Away With Me. And right away they're like, oh, it's like the Faces. We're going to play this like the Faces. And they get into this groove. Everybody gets in this groove. And Brian plays lead guitar, and he's just wailing all over this thing. They're singing on everything. What is there to say?
Yeah, they're so talented, it kind of hurts, honestly. It's just like...
They played on your record.
Yeah, they played on my record. And when I first heard their records, I was pretty blown away. But when I saw them live for the first time in a festival, it was in Holland. I went to a really small club show and I was really lucky to see them live, but I felt like it was like a weird punk show and I was like 13 years old. It was just the coolest,
it's the most exciting,
rock and roll thing I've ever
seen.
Oh my
God. I took my friend John C. Riley, Academy Award nominee, collaborator of mine and good friend. I was like, you got to come see these kids play. And they played in LA at a bigger show, but they're not playing, you know, they're still like, you know,
They're underrated.
And he was like, it was like he had just gone, saw God or Elton John at like the Troubadour, you know, like it was that impactful to us. We were both like so gobsmacked and in love with these guys and their energy. And I was just I felt so grateful to have them working on this record and singing and coming up with, there's so many cool harmony parts they added that they worked out themselves.
Right. On the spot.
On the spot. And again, they were people that knew me and I'd been talking to them about trying to do something. So they were like happy to do it too. And then Rado comes in and, you know, he produced my last record. He produced your record.
Yeah.
He's got very strong opinions about...
He's got fairy dust.
Yeah.
He comes in and sprinkles it.
And he loves it. And he loves kind of showing it off. So he can come in and listen to what we've been working on and be like, take out that thing. Try this. You know, he like starts doing his thing.
Yeah. And he played guitar and bass and roto toms.
Yeah. He got in there and everybody had fun. And so we had these like, I think we had probably five songs that day, over those 2 days.
Something like that.
Something like that. And then there was a plan to, that was Monday, Tuesday. There's a plan on Friday that you put together, Drew, to go to another studio for Natalie and I to do a little vocal work.
Right.
Vox. Redo some vocals at Vox Studios. And
Some
magic happened there.
Made more songs.
So that's Friday night. We had worked for a few hours and I had sent these guys, I was so energized by those 2 days and so like excited about making music, so impressed with everybody. And so it's such a fun time because everybody is so friendly and laughing at my jokes, you know? And I think everybody was having fun because they got, like, they were hanging out with somebody that they usually don't hang out with, I think.
I was having a blast.
I had a blast. I never get to hang out with, you know, anybody besides music people.
Right. And so we were all vibing off each other. That's what I say a lot now. Vibing off each other. And I was like, as soon as I got done with those 2 days, I was all buzzing around and I was listening to the songs we had done, the rough mixes and stuff. And I wrote another song. And so it's kind of inspired me to write more music from those 2 days. And I wrote this one song called Nothing. And it was a real bouncy kind of piano Nilsson-y kind of thing. I sent it to you guys. Always nervous. Always thinking I'm sending trash. Like, take a listen to this, but don't worry if you don't like it. It's probably no good. But then you guys said it was good. Who knows? You know, you're like, oh, maybe it is. And then we're mixing this album, and there's a piano in one of the rooms, and I was like, do you guys want to try to do this one tonight? It was asking a lot, because you had a show to do. You were supposed to do a show.
I didn't do that show.
Yeah. But it was also the day that your record came out. Do you remember that?
Was that it really?
It was the day your record came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was I doing there?
I know
what I was doing there. Well, we celebrated the record coming out on another day.
Right.
With the cake. Yeah. And then it was time.
The actual day is like there's not much to do.
Yeah. And what we were doing in the studio, I mean, yeah, when we recorded Nothing, that was pretty spontaneous. And that was fun.
We went. Natalie and I went into the piano room, and I showed it to her. And then she, because she's got a great ear and a great songwriting
thing,
capacity,
tenacity.
Yeah, tenacity. She knows all the chords, and she's Guitar George. She knows all the chords.
George's chords.
And she's like, "Well, why don't you just?" She changed a couple things, Very quickly, with lots of like spontaneity and energy, we're just like, cool, that this is the structure of the song. If it could be cool as just you and me and a piano. And Drew got into it, and he got the guy working there to start miking a piano.
Michael Harris.
Catfish.
Well, we'll get to Catfish in a minute. He set the mics up as you do. And we set up two mics for us and just started making the song.
We were screaming.
We were recorded it live. And then Natalie goes in there and does those angel harmonies, those choir things. it was so fucking creative and like to have the tools of the studio at your disposal, trying a little tambourine, say, no, that sounds like shit. Get it out of there.
Yeah, no, music is alchemy.
It was a touching and moving night for me. And then we had this song that we all felt like it's pretty special.
Yeah.
I was moved. I was tired. You know when you're really tired and you're like you get emotional and start kind of weepy?
Yeah.
That was definitely happening in that room for me. So then we had these five songs. Kind of all went our separate ways. And I had a couple more in me. Then I was inspired to do some more writing. And I talked everybody into trying to get back into that space again. When do you have a couple more days?
And I think I went on some tours. I think some time passed.
A lot of time passed.
You know, we were doing other things, being busy.
We were living our lives. It was summer a lot. A lot of that break was during some summer, but I know cause I had written some stuff on tour. I did a little touring too. I'd written some songs at my hotel in Minneapolis where I had a day off. And then I had gone to Vermont and Canada and wrote a song backwards after that experience. Hence the references to Canada and Sheridan Lake, which is a real place.
Sheridan Lake.
And so then we had another bunch of songs. Natalie and I did a benefit together and we and we did the Let It Be jingle jangle country thing backstage.
Was it the same venue?
It was the Ace. Yeah. Yeah, it was the Ace. Much less attended. That's our magic place.
Yeah.
When we do the 20th anniversary concert for this record,
yeah,
it will have to be at the Ace.
Fear of death. It's getting close.
Yeah, it's getting closer.
When I find myself in time of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be. And in my outer darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be.
And then, so we booked two more days and we did, who did we work with in that second session?
Eliana Athaid, my
Your
bassist.
Bass player. Yeah. You roped her in.
We got, Josh Adams on drums and, who was playing? Oh,
Catfish.
Oh no. Catfish. Well, Catfish.
And then your guitar player.
Yes. Mike Bloom.
Yeah. There was Bloom, and then
there was another guy there recording something else who was like a...
Oh, Caleb was there. Caleb was in the other room. Caleb Landry Jones.
Caleb, yeah. Landry Jones.
He's an actor, right? Who also makes music like me?
Yes.
Yeah, we looked at each other.
You guys are both in Jordan Peele films.
That's the another more,
that's
more
the
connections.
Weird synchronicity.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we record backwards there, which I love.
Property.
Nobody that listens to the record likes that that song.
Backwards, really?
Get on mic.
Really, backwards?
People that I sent the record to that write me back, tell me their favorite songs, don't bring that one up.
They all say nothing.
But I love it. They say nothing, someone you can handle.
Fear of death.
Property, somebody mentioned.
Yeah, I love Property.
We do Property. We do Backwards. We do Little. We do Let It Be.
Yeah.
Our version. And we do the trickiest one, Oh How We Drift Away, which is remarkable because it's remarkable. It was the first, we collaborated on that. I wrote the lyrics and you wrote the music, which I've never really done before. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that before?
No, first time.
You got lyrics, almost like I'm Bernie Taupin all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That dynamic. And you would be Elton John. It was tricky for you and me.
It's tricky.
I wrote a lot of complicated words.
Yeah.
I'm not really a...
I actually think it was kind of easy for me.
Once you got
I did chuck it out.
Once you got the structure of it.
Yeah, like I felt like it did flow with my vibe and it wasn't too different from maybe how I would write something.
And I don't know where I got this idea, but I was so inspired by doing this record and working with you guys and taking my role in this as seriously as I could, just to feel what that would be like give yourself sort of, I don't know if you do this with your songwriting, but give yourself like little like challenges for the song. Like, what could I do in this song that I haven't done before?
Mm. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I try to challenge it per chord where it's like, how could I make this moment a little extra, you know, but it all is in within.
For me, that song was like, could I do something narratively that kind of went big,
mm-hmm.
like went on a bigger, wasn't, cause a lot of my stuff is very like small and specific and personal, but like very kind of, you know, unique to me, but maybe people can relate. But I was like, let me see if I could paint like a big picture for the last verse.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed.
We call those broad strokes.
Yeah. Like a big, like a Terrence Malick kind of verse.
Yeah. And then I got the chords for that. I got the Terrence Malick chords.
Yes. Very beautiful chords. And it's a weird thing to do this record that isn't really, it's not a duets record, although we sing together almost all the way through. It's not a full, we didn't know what to, we don't know how to handle what it is. Cause it's like Drew is very collaborative with it. I wrote most of the songs. Everybody's chipping in. Then there's a song where it's just you singing. Like, what is that? What is it?
It's your record.
We get that now. I know.
It's your record, and it's, it comes from me. The musical growth that has happened since your last record. And we're just here, you know, as observers of your creative process.
And you're adding your own talents to it in a big way.
We let our flavors
and I'm grateful
into there.
And there are no regrets.
Yeah.
There are.
I don't have regrets yet, because for me, I don't know. I really love just making music and being spontaneous and not having that kind of pressure where you're like, oh, I'm a musician and this has to be this way. You know,
right.
A lot of people in the music industry kind of live in trepidation and fear, but you kind of approach it in a more playful, generative way. So for me, it was really fun.
It was fun.
I had a good time.
But also, you are going through this period of very, you know, I don't know, you can describe it as stressful if you want, but a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot happening in your life.
Yeah.
Exciting period.
Really exciting. Still exciting.
And still exciting. It will degrade over time.
Yes. Luckily.
But I was very grateful that you gave the time you had to this, because it was like, you know, you were probably exhausted or being pulled in lots of directions. And
well, it's funny. I didn't plan on giving you that much time, and that's probably why I gave you that much time.
Right.
It was like at the onset, I thought I was just dropping in to sprinkle some fairy dust, but I did become a little more into it, and that is why it became a full album. You know, it was originally just a couple songs.
Yeah, so. I feel a little guilty for going back to the candy jar, because I'm an overeater. And have no self-control when it comes to, you know, chocolates.
You and I got lots of chocolate.
And potato chips. So I was like, you know, but I also, like, I'm not a pushy guy either. So I felt like, well, if anyone ever feels like they're doing too much work on this or it's a burden, please, I will step back. But
no, it never became burdensome. Because I don't think you were ever really, like, psychologically tripping. Like,
no.
You kind of knew what you wanted and
yeah,
we got there pretty fast.
Exactly. That's the best thing about, and it's hard to explain. I just want to try to explain it to people about how we were able to do this. Is the musicians were so good, and I think Drew had such a good sense of arrangement and the kind of music we all liked, that something happens where you learn the song, the band learns the song. Everybody's plugged in the right way and the levels are set the right way. You play the song a couple times and then it's done.
Yeah, more or less.
That is the beauty of your songs.
Well, yeah. We could have slaved over it more,
we
probably.
We could have changed it and we could have, But no, I didn't mean that as an, a compliment, honestly. Because, it was just one of those things that was really natural. And
well, like in Backwards.
People know chords. You know, Drew chose people that can do that.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was just remarkable to see. Like, you know, I went into the studio with Backwards, and they're like, what do you want it to sound like? You know, like, what are you picturing? And I was like, well, it's like kind of like a Graceland song, which is the frame of reference that everyone got. And then within a minute, everyone's doing chicka-chicka-chicka. You know, everyone's doing it. And it just sounds right. You know, you're just like,
that's our job.
I guess
it's our job,
but it's you know, for a guy that maybe grew up playing with amateurs,
Neanderthals,
bad people. It's so fun to go, like, just playing with pros is really something else.
We're the cream of the crop,
but pros with good taste, because you could have gotten the guys that worked on the latest Aerosmith record.
Yeah,
and maybe
they
would have
had a lot more to tell you. They would have had a lot more to say.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get publishing. They would have been like, change this, change that.
Or how do we make this more approachable to an audience?
Have you listened to Joshua Tree? That's what they would have said.
Well, we were going to bring in Daniel Lanois. So the last thing we'll say is, then we had almost an album, but then we needed like three more songs. So we came to my studio here in my garage and did like a little mini session.
Drew and I were just eating weed gummies
Oh yeah,
just blasting behind, into the stratosphere
behind my back. Was not offered any.
Sorry,
well, you needed to keep it straight.
I need to stay focused. But we did Little Lamb, which we tried to play on guitar. You and I tried to play the guitar part unsuccessfully.
Hey, home recording's different.
It was hard. I wrote a part that's hard.
Yeah.
But shouldn't be. But so we recorded that. We recorded the Prelude to Feelings. And maybe that's it.
We did the horns here too.
We did some horns. They didn't really work out too well.
Horns are hard. It's hard to get those no horns, to the horns in tune.
It was a tough day. Drew had just come back from Europe. He was jet lagged.
Yeah,
out of his mind.
Is that how you feel?
I am jet lagged as well. I feel really good right now.
Did you get back today?
I got back yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday morning.
What time is it? Is it like morning time?
We don't think about that. Who knows? You don't think about that. You don't get into that. What else do we want to say? What
maybe,
are your...
Maybe Kenny Gilmore.
What?
Kenny, well...
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Kenny Gilmore has been mixing.
Yeah, he's been mixing.
Kenny
Gilmore mixed my record. He's a real angel. He used to play with Ariel Pink and had a lot to do with Pom Pom and Mature Themes and was doing a lot of co-production for Ariel for many years.
Well, I have not been able to give him many notes because they come in and they just sound great. So,
yeah, have you been...
I haven't been giving him notes. I think they sound good.
Yeah, they sound great.
Well, and then you and Rado and Brian from the Lemon Twigs also spent some time on the record without me.
Right.
Overdubbing and trying stuff.
Right. I did a day with Brian and he played some guitars and redid like the guitar on Little Lamb and added some Mellotron, a couple things. And then Rado kind of played over some stuff one day and then kind of did his... Brian Eno kind of running stuff through delays and stuff. And
these guys made a very far out version of nothing.
Right, yeah.
That I don't think you heard.
It ended up...
That's very weird.
Oh, wow. I'm intrigued.
We'll put it on as like a... We'll put it on this podcast as like an alternate mix. It was a little scary when I heard it because it definitely like freaked me out. There's lots of weird noises and stuff in it.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're dealing with over here.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of weirdos.
I know. It's like, leave my song alone. Stop.
Stop trying to make it innovative.
Like, yeah, dressing it up with a lipstick and stuff. It's like, respect the craft.
Experimental lipstick. Yeah.
But Drew agreed that we needed to peel that back a little bit.
Yeah, like a... It was a nice. It was a kind of cool.
It was cool. It was very cool. You're a very cool guy.
You got to go on adventures, and then you got to reel it back in.
Yeah, yeah. You want everything to sound connected to each other.
All right. This is Tim Heidecker speaking. Many months after that conversation, was from January of this year. The good old days. And I can't remember what happened. I think we stopped recording or we started talking about what is going to appear on the next episode. And it just kind of strangely ended. So, hey, thanks for listening. And in the next episode, we are going to do a sort of a DVD commentary style listen to the record. And we hope you'll listen and check out the record everywhere you listen to music. TimHeideckerMusic.com to order the physical copy if you're so inclined. Thank you so much.